Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me. I'm here with the Killer Bee. Taylor, you are a monster. I've watched all your fights. I can't believe Taylor Starling. You are. It's just action, 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 action. Coming off, you're now 3-0 in BKB.
Yeah. I fight for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship at 3-0. Ended the year undefeated. It's been literally a whirlwind of a year. Like, if you told me this time last year that this is where I'd be, I would be like, no way.
Where did you think you were going? Like, what?
I actually, like, around this time last year, had a pro boxing match and I lost. And just life was like really fucking hard at that point. So if you would have told me that this was gonna happen, like, I could see it happening, but I also would have been like, what? How? Like, how is that happening? Like, how's that gonna change overnight? So, yeah, it was a whirlwind of a 2020, and then 2021 was just my year. So I'm thankful. I'm just glad that I got the opportunity to fight for them and show them what I had. And, you know, when I went to Bare Knuckle, they didn't think I was anything. They were like, all right, we'll give you a shot. And then here I am, and I mean, couldn't ask for a better year.
Your first fight was bananas. It was just, it was like, it's called like the most like bloodiest Bare Knuckle fight. I mean, they use that as the poster child for like, look at what Bare Knuckle can be. You fought a tough girl who hung in there, had huge boobs, by the way.
I don't know. Huge boobs, really huge boobs.
Were you aiming for her boobs at all? Were you trying to, was that one of your tricks?
No, but, or that, or maybe like, I have no boobs, so maybe they just look way bigger in comparison. No, she has like really big boobs, and I just didn't even think about it. I was trying to knock her face off. Like, I just wanted her head. Like, I remember looking at her face and thinking, like, this is my bare knuckle fight. First bare knuckle fight. I got to hit this chick in all of the, like, worst parts of your face that you could get hit in.
Well, you did. I mean, you bloodied her up. You were a little also banged up, too. But it seemed like you had a lot of boxing experience. Like, you have definitely have power, and you met your distance really well. How long have you been boxing?
I actually started training when I was around 13, and I was more of a wrestler and a jiu-jitsu person. And it's funny because now if you ask me to do jiu-jitsu, I am like, absolutely not, no way, not gonna happen. I do enjoy wrestling, but I've always been so aggressive, so punching was just like, I was always like, man, I really want to punch people, like, I think that would be great. And I have fought, like, the same spirit I had when I was just like a teenager is the same one I have now. Just so aggressive. So I remember asking my coach, like, hey, like, I really want to do striking. How do I get into it? And once I did, I kind of veered away from the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling, and I wanted to compete in boxing. And it's been a long career, like a long journey of just doing it all, but trying to find where I really fit. And boxing was always the one thing that had my heart. I love punching people.
What's your amateur record?
My amateur record, it was like, I fought so many times. I did so many smokers. It was like 9-2, like boxing. And that was like smokers. And then I like went pro. And then I had 6 more fights out here and went undefeated. So I was like 4-0, 5-0 out here in the Carolinas. So it was just like going. But I also was fighting amateur MMA, amateur kickboxing. Like, I was just all over the place. So all over the place.
So your boxing record now is what, 4-1, pro boxer?
Pro boxer? As a pro boxer, I'm 1-1. Unless you count bare knuckle. Like, if you count the bare knuckle, 4-1.
Right. But you've had like 13 amateur boxing fights?
Yeah. Like, okay. It's crazy.
You could tell it's not your first fight. Like, you could tell that you actually have like really good form. I mean, you go crazy, so it looks like you're just going nuts, but your accuracy is really good.
And it's funny because I have so many people like talk shit online, like the trolls that like you know, that might not be real fighters that go in there and they're like, God, this girl looks like an idiot. She doesn't know what she's doing. But I want to be fast and I want to be accurate. I don't want to just be a slow, accurate puncher. I live off of speed kills. And I want to be fast as fuck and I want to be accurate as fuck. And like, that's what I go into that mindset with. So if you really, really know fighting like you do, like it's accurate and fast. Is what
100%. I mean, you could tell, you could actually tell your fight against Cassie Robb. That was what, like, they said that was the biggest, craziest beatdown of all time. And Cassie Robb's had a lot of fights. She's not like some girl that they just like, it wasn't like that soccer mom fight that they just threw in San Diego with what's her name? I forgot the girl's name from Bellator, the champ. Cassie Robb's been in there, but you made it look like she, like you completely overwhelmed her.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah, and it was crazy. It's just so many people have said that, like, oh, you're fighting cans. I'm like, dude, Teresa Segala has a very good MMA record. I was not even in bare knuckle, and I was a fucking, like I was losing. And then I went with her and made her look a lot less than me, but that was a war. Then I fight Cassie Robb. She had plenty of experience, just like you said. And then Hannah Guy. So many people saw the Hannah Guy fight, I guess because of me with bare knuckle. They were like, man, Hannah Guy's a bum. She's about to get destroyed. And I'm like, Hannah Guy is no slouch. Like,
she beat Valerie.
She's a fucking superstar right now.
They were calling Valerie Laredo a fucking champion. Everyone was touting her, and Hannah Guy beat her.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew going into that fight, I was like, dude, this is going to be a tough fight because I've watched Hannah Guy. When they sent me her name, I kind of was like, whew, like this is going to be some – I got some work on my hands with this one. So I had to really evaluate everything and come up with a game plan for Hannah because I knew what she was going to do and I knew she was going to be strong and I knew she was going to hit hard. I knew she was going to be tough. So
she could take a punch. Here, I'm going to play your hopefully this doesn't get taken down because I don't have the rights to this. But I'm going to play your fight against Cassie Robb. This is like when you hit the speed bag and you're just like, they're like, burnout session. Like, you basically did a burnout. She comes at
you. Yeah. And it's so funny because my coach always is making us do burnout rounds. And I remember that camp, we were doing so many burnout rounds. And I was just like, I fucking hate this. I hate doing burnout rounds. Then when I fought and did that, he was like, yeah, you know those burnout rounds you had.
Oh, my really God. Now, do you ever get worried that you're not going to be able to keep this kind of pace?
No. I mean, there's a couple times, like, with Hannah, like, where she kind of landed a shot on me. I was like, woo, like, that was a little hard. But I knew just, like, I had an answer to every problem that she had. So I don't, like – I can fight backwards and I can fight forwards. I always get dubbed a pressure fighter. And I think that's just because of like the way I've made these fights look, but I can fight going backwards. I can fight going forwards to the left, to the right, like either way, like I'm swinging, let's go.
How do you keep that type of, cause people get burned out quickly. And how do you get that kind of cardio?
Man, we condition for it. Like everything we do, like I'm telling you, we do so many burnout drills, like all the time. Everything that we do is intense, but with explosion and things like that. Like I don't go and run 20 miles. Like I think that's crazy. I do really short explosive workouts that like when you're in there, you get those, like I can hang in there and then I can explode when I need to. I can be fast when I need to, but I condition for it. I'm always ready. I'm like, man, I want to throw fast as fuck. I want to throw as many as I can. So I train for that.
Now the first fight, you dropped that girl like five times and she kept up.
Like a zombie. It was pissing me off. I remember like, since it was my first bare knuckle experience, it was like really rough and my eye was open and stuff. I remember going to the corner and saying like, I really don't feel like being in here any longer. And my coach is like, well, then knock her the fuck out. And I was like, I'm trying. She keeps fucking getting back up. What do you want me to do? But she was tough. Like, she was so tough.
Oh, my God. Now, you come out, you walk out, and you start twerking right away. Now, I've read in interviews, you say that you're shy. Is this, like, a character that you do, like, where you have to, like, become someone else?
You know, it's funny because it's more so for me. And, like, I really enjoy, because I've been a fan at events watching other people fight. And when someone has just like a really good walkout, like with a good song and good energy, and like you as a fan feel that, and I've been there personally. So I've always wanted to make it my goal now that when I walk out, I want everyone to be like, oh shit, like this is dope. Like, so I want them to do that. And the way that I am like right now is the way I am in person. I'm like this 24/7. I mean, I can be a bitch, obviously, who can't, but I'm always high energy and crazy. But the funny thing is right before a fight, of course I'm nervous. So like, usually if you see me in the back, I'm in the back quiet. Like right before I walk out, I'm quiet. I look like I'm going to murder somebody. And the second that like I get to walk out and have that moment, it calms my nerves down. And then I realize like I'm giving the fans what they want. And
where do you learn the twerking?
Like, oh my God. Self-taught.
do you watch TikTok videos and then practice yourself, or you go to the club? Like, you're already 23, 24. I'm 40. I'm an old man. My working days are over. But where do you learn those things?
I just feel it. I don't, like, I watch TikToks and stuff. I'm the most uncoordinated, unrhythmical. I'm terrible at dancing. And it cracks me up because people always say, like, God, she sucks so bad, or she's so cringy. And I'm like, it's not about that. It's just, like, what I'm feeling. So it's not the best moves, but I just go with like what I'm feeling.
Let me see if I can get some of these twerking videos. It seems like you know what you're doing. I mean, I'm not a twerking expert, but I've seen people twerk a lot worse than you. Hold on, let me see. So here you go. Taylor's walkout.
I just kind of go with the flow, and I do a lot of like arm motions. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know. I remember the Bust It challenge where like women were dropping it low to that song. And I remember hearing that. And I think in that phase, like when I fought Teresa's, when that was like really popular, and it was just always in my head. And I was like, I'm going to go out here and just drop it low. And I did. And when I did, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I just did that. But whatever, it felt right at the time.
But you weren't like a big club kid. You going out in Tampa or Florida and like hanging out at the strip clubs and being like, you're not that.
I went to the strip club one time in Tampa on my 18th birthday and I got kicked out. My sister was so shit-faced that, like, they were like, out. Get out of here.
So you've only been once. Okay, got it. Now, before, you were driving an hour and a half to get to practice?
Right now I live right up the road, so it's super convenient. But living in the Carolinas, there's not a whole lot out here. There's really not. Like, I come from, like, I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so that's, like, a huge MMA place. There's MMA gyms on every corner. Here, it's like there's maybe a good 4 or 5, and every single one of them except for the one that I'm at is really far away. But the gym I'm at, I'm so happy with, and it's literally, like I said, 5 minutes away, and it's the best. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Why'd you move from Albuquerque to South Carolina?
So, long story, but I actually was born in Brandon, Florida, which is right near Tampa. My dad, when I was younger, moved us out here. He worked at Busch Gardens, which is an amusement park in Florida. He came up here for a different opportunity at a different amusement park. He works on the rides, like maintenance and carpentry and things like that. But my mom, I didn't really know her too well my whole life, but I moved out to Albuquerque with her. And she was there with my stepdad. That's where he was from. So I moved out there for a while until I was about 18, 19. And then I came back here with my dad. So I've been all over the place.
Did you join the wrestling team in Albuquerque, or did you do high school?
Yes. I tried to do wrestling in high school, but I was such a girl about it because there wasn't really any girls doing it. And I was like, I'm not doing all this with these big boys. And the coach had taken me in because I was getting in fights constantly. I was getting in a lot of fights, and the coach was like, maybe you need to do something better with like what you have going on. And then I had a family friend that owned a taekwondo gym. It was like, why don't you come to the taekwondo gym and do like jiu-jitsu, and you could do that, see if you like that. If you want to do kickboxing, taekwondo, stuff like that, you can try it. And yeah, it just kind of blew up from there. But yeah, I got in a lot of fights in school. Being in Albuquerque, it was like...
How come you got in so many fights?
Because I just got picked on. I got picked on all the time.
And I was stealing boyfriends?
No, not stealing boyfriends. Actually, one of the incidents, like, someone had like stole stuff out of my locker. I remember my first day of school in Albuquerque, like I showed up from the Carolinas in Florida and I had like this country accent. I remember I walked in the class and all the girls just instantly hated me, wanted to fight. First day of school, girls like, let's out after class. I'm going to beat your ass. So I was like, all right, let's go. Like, that's fine. So I've always been aggressive.
Did you win the fight?
Yeah. There was one fight I got in. A girl was texting my boyfriend in like middle school, something stupid. And I was like, that's it. I'm gonna beat this chick's ass. And me getting picked on. I was just really aggressive and I never turned down a fight. And I've always been that.
I'm in Albuquerque. The wrestling coach says, join the team. You wrestled for how long? A couple months or?
No, yeah. Like not like less than a month. I went in there and I was like, all right. I was like, these boys are like way too much for me to be.
They're in smiling, this. They're grinding on you. They're like too much. Got it. So then you went to Taekwondo in Albuquerque.
It was a Taekwondo gym. I didn't start off with the Taekwondo. I did the other classes. They had jiu-jitsu and boxing. And I started there. And then I was like, yeah, maybe I'll try Taekwondo. And then they were doing the patterns. And I was like, no, too much work.
It's not going to work in a fight anyway. So yeah. Then you went to South Carolina back with your dad. Because was your mom upset that you left her?
No, my mom was a meth addict. So I actually moved out away from my mom at a really, really young age and stayed kind of like finding my way around Albuquerque, staying with friends and like just trying to figure out life. And my mom just got so far off the deep end. Like when I first moved out there, everything was pretty normal. And then as the years went on, it just kind of revealed itself like how bad she was. And it was really a struggle. And to this day, like, I don't know where my mom's at. I don't know what's going on with her. She just kind of got sucked into that lifestyle. And ever since then, like, I haven't heard from her. I haven't seen her. Nothing. So I came back home.
My mom was also a drug addict, and I don't know where she is either. So yeah. She's in Canada somewhere, I think in, like, some kind of a mental home.
You know, I wish that she would have, like, done something like that. It's just – It was a wild, wild experience. And yeah, no, I don't know where she's at. Don't know anything going on with her.
So you're in high school and you're getting beat up, you're getting picked on, and now you go home, your mom's on meth.
Yep.
So your mom's smoking meth, so you can't go to her for guidance. She's probably mad at you because she thought she got rid of you, and now I want to come back. Why did you want to go back and meet? How was your dad? Why did you want to leave to go with her?
No, he was really understanding because that, on top of that, like my best friend had passed away. Like I had so many things going on that were a catalyst of like, I remember calling my dad and I just wanted to come visit at least. I was like, Dad, I need to come visit. And I came home and we sat and talked and I was like, I think I should move back home. I need to stay. Like I need to get my shit and get back. Cause it's just not good over there for me. It just was a really bad lifestyle. And Albuquerque is one of those places like where you're either going to thrive or you're going to go down the path like my mom or be in a dark place and just not come out of it. So moved out, but I came back to my dad and it was a whirlwind. I had kids, I got married, I got divorced. I had got back into fighting after having kids. So my life has been like a movie.
This is a lot. You're kind of like acting like I had breakfast and then I had lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
So you're 18 years old. You moved back to South Carolina. Staying with your dad who's working at an amusement park.
Yep.
Right? And now you're living with him. Is it a trailer or is it a house?
No, he's got a nice house in the woods. My dad's got a house in the woods.
Nice house in the woods. And you graduated high school?
I did. I graduated 2 years early. I had to do a lot of online courses and stuff just to like make up for it. But I remember talking with my counselors and being like, this is what I have going on. I got to make something happen or I'm going to drop out.
So you're 15 years old, you graduated high school.
It was 2012, so I was like 15, 16.
15, 16. So are you thinking about college at all?
Hell no. I didn't want to go to college. College is just not for me, and like nothing wrong with it. But for me, I have the attention span of a goldfish, and I don't like being told what to do. So homework, I was like, I'm going to have to do. I had plenty of friends that were in college, and they all were like pulling their hair out. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm going to end up in debt. And I'm going to not want to do it. I'm going to drop out. I
dropped out of college and I think about going back sometimes and I'm like, do I want to go to tests right now?
Yeah.
Do I want to do papers? and fucking homework. And everyone's like, it's so easy. I'm like, yeah, I know. But I'm like, I got bills to pay. I got a kid. All right. So now you're 17. You move back home. And
I was like 18 turned 19. Yeah.
Are you working at all? You making any money?
Yeah. Well, through my whole time in Albuquerque, I was like job to job to job. I was like I worked at a pizza restaurant. I worked at a cupcake bakery. I worked at pharmacies. I worked all over the place. I came home, didn't work for a little bit. My first job when I moved here actually was at a Waffle House. It was the worst job I've ever had. Worked at the Waffle House and then kind of bounced around jobs, serving like restaurants. I hate serving. I hate it. I was really good at it, but I hated it. And finally, like I ended up getting pregnant, and I got pregnant pretty young and not too long after I moved out here. I was 19 years old when I got pregnant.
19, and, you met a guy who's like, you're like, this is the one.
Yeah.
How old was he?
I think he was 22, 23.
He's a little older. Yeah. He's like, I'll take you out of this life. You could be with me. Or was he like a John Deere guy drinking moonshine at the party?
No, he wasn't like, he was country, but not that country. But he was very, we thought, all right, well, we're going to be together forever. And then two kids later, we have two boys together. And just after a while, like, I mean, having kids, I think he got in the mindset of like, all right, she's done fighting. She's not going to fight anymore. And that's it. And after I had my two kids, I was like, man, I got to get back to it. And I just don't
think. You're 24 years old. I mean, you're still like, this is not my whole life. I don't want to be one of these people that just raises kids.
Yeah, I saw something more than just sitting at home all day, every day. And nothing wrong with that. I love my kids more than anything. I spend all my time with my kids. It took forever to do this interview because I'm always with my kids, going. But I was like, man, I can't tell them to go for their dreams, but be like, oh, yeah, I gave up what I loved doing because I had you, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. The best way to show your kids loving is to inspire them by them watching you do it.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you just say it and you're not doing it, they're going to be like, well, they're full of shit. And then your words are meaningless. But if your kid actually sees you do something, it's a whole different story.
We had our kids. I started getting back into training after my second son, and he didn't really take too well to it. So from then on, our relationship kind of just slowly like, yeah. But now we get along great. We co-parent great. Everything's cool. When I have a fight, I'm like, hey, I'm going. This is what our schedule is going to be with the boys while I'm gone and things like that. So it worked out and it's all good.
You're a good mom and he's a good dad. You guys are co-parenting. You live close enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And now what is this OnlyFans? Cause I can't subscribe because my wife and I, we share accounts and stuff. plus I also look at you in a very, not that I wouldn't look down on you, but I like the way I look at you right now. So, but I do see your butt a lot on your Instagram page. You're a very attractive woman. Like, what's going on here?
Let me give you like a good perspective on it, because if you sit and ask me, like, is that something that I want to do every day, and do I think it's the best thing that I could be doing? No, but you know, unfortunately and fortunately, in the way that women are seen, especially in MMA, like it's weird. Like there's a lot of men that just love female fighters. It's one of those things that changed my life. Like right now I get to train full time and actually fight. Whereas like a few months ago, I'm like, man, if I don't figure it out, I'm not going to be able to fight full time. I'm going to have to work full time and do this. So that really helped me. But that is one of the downsides of it, is like, as a woman, like we should be able to do more and like make that money without having to do things like that. But my fan site's really not too bad. I always hear that people have like some pretty raunchy ones. Mine's the in between. And like I said, if you think it's like what I would like to be doing all the time and stuff, even some days I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, I have like a fan site and that's what I'm doing for a living, but it helps me and it helps my career. And like, it's something I do so that I can thrive to make money, to be fighting and to get to the level of where I'm only fighting for money and I don't got to do anything on the side. I want to get to that point, but I'm really thankful for it.
But you are the champion, right?
Yeah.
You're not OnlyFans. Yeah. You're the champion of BKFC, right? Yeah. You're the champion. You are, so,
I want that belt, baby. I want that belt.
I mean, you're what? You're one fight away from being the – I think you're going to get the next shot.
I would hope so. There's only one other person with the same record as me this year, and that's Britton Hart. And I'm like, come on. If you guys want to make a money fight, a belt fight, like, I would say that me and Britton make perfect sense. I think they mentioned doing a tournament, but I haven't really seen it come together yet. But I definitely should be in the fucking conversation for that. I believe so.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, why wouldn't you? Britton Hart has just been taking girls out. I mean, taking out stars. Took out Pearl Gonzalez. Took out Paige VanZant. I think that would be an act. You guys the same weight? I didn't realize that was the exact same weight. I mean, that's definitely the fight to make. I mean, why wouldn't you make that fight? Yeah, the tattoos. When did this start? By the way, is that a Christmas tree? What is it?
No, got makeup on, so you can't really see it all the way. But it's a dagger and a bee. So like killer bee.
Got it.
My dad told me when I was a kid, when I was really young, that if I ever got tattoos, he would whoop my ass. And I think that just like that always stuck in my head. And I was just like, I'm going to get one. And then I got one. And then it just never stopped. I got my first one when I was 17 in Albuquerque in someone's house, like a psychopath. And it just never stopped. For me, you know, some people smoke meth.
Yeah.
Some people do other things, and I like to get tattoos. It's like therapy for me.
Now, does that the neck one? Does the neck hurt?
Yes, it was my most painful one, most painful by far.
And how long does it take?
That one took 3 hours.
Fuck.
That one took 3 hours. The longest tattoo I've ever sat down and got was like my arm. Like this part right here, I think I sat like 6 hours for that tattoo and had to go back for another session and then all the other detailing in my arm and stuff.
That's really good. You got really good work though. They did a good job.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love having art. I love art in general and just like having it on my body. It's like, it's the coolest.
And a boyfriend, you have a boyfriend?
Yes, my coach, my head coach is also my man, Keith Richardson.
Keith Richardson. Now, he's your coach. How long has he been your coach for, and when did you guys start dating?
It's been a little over a year, and we started dating not too long after Knucklemania. So when I fought at Knucklemania, it was funny because like we kind of were like, I had feelings for him, but he was very like, I'm coach, and I don't know if this can really happen, and or I don't really want everyone to know yet, or whatever. And finally, like, I remember at Knucklemania, we had like this moment after I won when he picked me up and we looked at each other and I was like, so yeah, we've been together since then. And just,
and he's also, he's a fighter also.
Yeah. He's a professional MMA fighter. He just fought, Daniel Strauss in
ex-MMA. He killed Daniel Strauss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that South Carolina thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He murdered Strauss. Fuck. He did that. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yep.
Man, I like Daniel Strauss too.
I know.
So it's too bad because you and Britton could have like a tag team. You, him and Aaron Joey versus you and Keith.
Right. I know, that's like so two opposite sides of the spectrum, like the little one and the really big one.
But
David versus Goliath.
Does he have kids too?
No, he doesn't have any kids. He hasn't been married. And my kids adore him. They think he's the coolest. So,
of course.
To the best.
Well, that's great. So you guys living together?
No. That's more me. I'm like, I guess after being married and everything, like, I'm like, I like my personal space. Like, I like to be to myself. Not to say it won't happen eventually, but yeah, I like having my own getaway, so where I can get away.
Now, what do the other moms think about you? Because I'm sure the dads love you, but I would say, like, at school, like, my mom's a bare knuckle boxer. She's got OnlyFans. Like, are the other moms like? Do they give you looks? You got tattoos, or are they like, you're the cool mom?
I've always gotten like really positive feedback. Like, I always get like, I'm so cool or a great mom and things like that. So I love it. I'm sure that there's some haters. I'm sure there's some haters, but they haven't made themselves too clear to me yet. If there are,
I mean, you'd definitely be the cool mom. I mean, bare knuckle boxer, tattoos, like. Fighter, this, that. I like it.
The funny thing is, so many people are always like, I bet your kids think it's so great. And they're just like, eh. Like, they're just like, whatever.
Yeah, they don't even know. They have no idea. How old are your kids?
4 and 5.
4 and 5. And then you got 2 boys.
2 boys. And they know what I do. They're just very so nonchalant about it. And I'm waiting for them. They've never seen me fight live in person because I want them to be a little older. Fights are always like late at night and shit. And I just want them to be like comfortable. But they are just usually like, yeah, whatever. Bring me a toy when you come back from the fight.
What do you think of the Mike Perry, Julian Lane incident?
I was so fucking irritated. And this is why, because they got in their scuffle and I was in the back about to walk out for my fight. And the doctors, like stitching people up and everything, were sitting right there. And fucking, I'm trying to walk out, like get hyped up, amped up. And I got Mike Perry and the group screaming and hollering and getting stitched up and yelling and just everything. And I was just like, oh my God. I think it was just like really fucked up of Julian Lane. Like, cause I mean, they're going to do shit like that. They want to make the fight happen. They want to get paid lots of money. So they're going to do things like that to make it happen. But at my time in that moment, I was about to walk out and I had enough of that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it happened like he calls him a pussy and throws something at him. And then he goes, he hit me. Like, what do you think's going to happen? It's fucking Mike.
Yeah.
Like, that was the dumbest thing. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Now, were you also on the car with Blueface?
I was. That's when I fought Cassie Robb.
What was that like?
He was so nice. It's funny because I didn't really get to watch the fights. And I remember someone saying, like, someone from the crowd, like, jumped in the ring or whatever. But I met Blueface at the press conference. And he was so fucking nice. And he came up to me and was like, I was like, can we take a picture? Because my niece loves Blueface. And I was like, I have to send this to my niece. She'll think it's so cool. And he took a picture of me. It was so kind. Actually, all of those people, the TikTok people, all of them were really fucking nice. And Blueface, too. Like, you wouldn't think that he was just the kindest, but he was.
Are you friends with Jenny Savage?
No.
You're like, Jenny, why not?
What question is that? I don't know. Jenny Savage hates me for some fucking reason. And I'm just over that shit. I don't give a fuck about Jenny Savage. It's just, like, one of those things where I think I've tried to be really respectful and really nice so many fucking times. And then I get screenshots sent to me in my inbox and online and all the time about like, Jenny Savage said this about you. Jenny Savage said that. And it's just like all a bunch of like fuck shit. I don't have time for it. So I'm always like, don't even send me that shit. Cause I don't care.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And then I know like this fight trip that I just went on, like I didn't say one word to her. I didn't say one thing about her. And I guess that whole trip, that girl was just running her mouth about me and talking shit about me and how much she hates me. And even during my fight, she's fucking screaming about how she wants Hannah Guy to like destroy me. And I just don't give a fuck about stuff like that. At the end of the day, like I'm super respectful until you give me a reason not to be. I'm very respectful. I respect everybody. And I just like, I don't have time for like energy sucking people that just cause shit for no fucking reason.
I met her in Zabka. She came to my comedy show. She was very sweet, very kind. I don't see this side of her. So maybe she looks at you as like a threat, somebody that she wants to fight, and this is her way. Yeah.
And it's weird because I've had the same thing. I've had Jenny Savage come up to me and like tell me like, oh, I'm so happy that you won and happy for your career and happy for this and that. And then like the next day is on Instagram, like, fuck this stupid bitch, Taylor. And whatever shit she
says.
Well,
you did say all the bitches can get it, right? Isn't that
what you said? All the bitches can get it, but it's like
you took that personally. Maybe she's like, well, I'm one of these bitches. Maybe
she's been talking shit before that was even said. So it's like, what's new? I don't care. Like, I respect Jenny at the end of the day, like for what she does, and I think that is cool what she's doing. But like, she just sits and talks about me so much on internet that I don't. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck I did to you, but all right, Jenny, like.
Maybe she gets high and forgets that, like, you guys were friends or.
I don't know. I don't really care. I don't do drama.
I got love for both of you. For the record, yeah. I think that you guys, if you guys hung out, you'd probably be best friends.
We've been cool in person. It's like, I think Jenny Savage has a great little villain personality for the sport. I think.
You have a great villain personality.
But it's like, if you come for me, like, of course I'm going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
when you're being nice to me to my face, and like, that's real genuine shit. Like, she's been so nice to me, to my face, and then goes on these rants or whatever. So It is what it is. I don't really care. If we fight, I'm fucking down to fight Jenny Savage. I'm not fucking scared of Jenny Savage. I will fight Jenny Savage on any day that ends in Y. And that's it. I have nothing but respect for her as a fighter, as a person. I don't really care. Whatever. It is what it is. She's just there. And that's it.
Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Okay? BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. You got to head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. It's not just football, okay? BetOnline has pro and college hoops. They got NHL, they got boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, let's get back to the podcast. Plan on going back to MMA at all?
Not unless, like, I don't know. It just would depend. Like, I really want to stay with bare knuckle. Like, if you ask me my perfect career, I want my career to go on and be with bare knuckle until the end. But if something happened and they were, like, called me tomorrow and said, like, no more bare knuckle, of course I'm going to have to go to MMA or kickboxing or boxing or something. And MMA just has way more opportunity.
What belt are you in jits?
Fucking white belt, because I don't do jujitsu.
You never do it? You
no. Well, not anymore.
You're gonna have a mark on you. That's what everyone's gonna try to, like, take you down right away.
They know. I don't even fucking try to hide it. Like, no, my jujitsu, I can grapple. Like, I'm not bad. I'm just no fucking Jillian Robertson or any of these girls. Like, they fucking get a hold of me, I'm like, oh, well.
I mean, yeah, but I'm sure. I mean, have you trained how much, like, in the gi, or like, do you do any kind of?
Never trained in a gi, but I've done no gi, and like that was the issue. Is like when I started off, I never like did a belt system. I just like trained for years, and I trained jujitsu for a long time, and never like did any belt system or ranking at all. So I never like improved on that. And I did jujitsu for like a really long time. I fought MMA. I fought Jenny Savage in MMA. I was doing jujitsu and grappling all through then. I just never.
Oh, who won? You were Jenny in MMA.
Jenny won.
Okay, so
my nose got broken. I broke my nose in that fight. Yeah, it was a really good. That was like, honestly, and if you ask me what one of my favorite fights is of all time, like that was one of my favorite fights that I've been in. Just because it was like,
what's your pro record in MMA?
1-1.
In MMA, and mm-hmm. And Jenny's the one loss.
Yep.
And then what's the one win?
I fought a chick named Brianna Smith for King of the Cage, and I knocked her out in the first round.
Nice.
So it was like me and Jenny went all 5 rounds and it got stopped right at the end. My nose was broken. And then I fought Brianna Smith and finished her in the first round after I fought Jenny. And the crazy thing is, like, when I took the fight with Jenny, it was on 3 or 4 days notice because someone sent it and was like, hey, like, I know you're in a camp, but this chick needs an opponent. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, I would love to take that fight. I was like, if I can make it happen and that girl needs an opponent, I'm going to show up and I'll fight. And I drove to Kentucky to go fight Jenny because I remember feeling so bad that, like, she didn't have it.
You drove by yourself?
With my husband at the time. We were married at the time. So we drove to Kentucky, and it was a long-ass fucking drive. And I remember I was just like, dang, that sucks that she doesn't have an opponent. I looked at her page, and she was, like, all upset. Like, I guess I'm not fighting now. And I was like, cool. Like, I'll go out there and step up and fight.
And then so your husband was your corner?
Hell no. It was not my corner. I had 3 people from my old gym at Gymo that drove up, and they drove up the day of the fight to be there and like made it just by the skin of their teeth, like to be there in my corner.
Do you have any weight or no?
I did. I fought at 114. We had to be 114. Oh. So yeah, I had to cut weight, and I fucking did that shit.
I could fight. What do you cut now? How much?
I walk around at like 135, 133, like right in between there. So this is not a rough cut at all. I just got to eat super clean day of, like cut off my water and things like that. Not hard at all. But
and then no sex with the trainer? Is that a, do you guys do that or no? Is that how it works?
No.
Oh, good.
Not that week.
Wow, good for you. I guess my wife's been in training for months now. So that's good. Okay, so and then afterwards, so and now you've been just nothing but winning. So you've been having fun. Now, do you take losses very hard or no?
I used to. Like when I was an amateur, of course, when I was an amateur, I like thought it was the end of the world. But now it's like a loss is, it gives me time to see, like, it just, you, of course it sucks. Like, I'm not going to take it easy. It's not fun. I will cry after I lose a fight just because like how much goes into it. But now more so like when you lose a fight, I remember someone telling me like, don't let a loss define who you are. Because there's so many people that get hung up on it and like caught in the moment of losing that they forget everything else. And it's like, I take it as a learning situation. So I've always lived by now, like, don't let a loss define you. And so if I'm to take a loss, like you learn from that shit and you keep moving forward and you go on to the next one.
Vince, we're just finishing up with the Killer Bee, Taylor.
What up?
And she's a bare knuckle boxing undefeated. This is Vince Pichel, UFC star. One,
yeah,
you're nine fights, right? You're on an 8 out of 9. I mean, you won what, 3 in a row, 4 in a row?
I think you won 3 right now.
Yeah, you're murdering people. have you ever watched Taylor's fights?
Yeah, actually, I did. I've seen a couple of her fights.
Oh, wow, awesome! Thank you.
She's murdering people. She goes out there and throws like 10,000 punches around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wish I could throw that many.
But, I try.
Yeah. Well, listen, Killer Bee, thank you for being on the podcast. Huge fan. Sorry, Vince. She's like taken. I know she's actually Vince's type. What's going on? But I guess Vince has a kid now. All right, even better. So last time I knew Vince, he was single, and now he has a 5-year-old kid. I don't know.
Fuck, there's a lot of change in this amount of time, man.
I don't really know what's going on. Hey, how are you?
This is Hannah.
Yes. How are you? I don't know what's going on here. But listen, Taylor, I gotta find out all this. Thank you so much, and
good
luck with everything.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day. See you later.
You too. Good luck.
So what's going on, Vince?
I just finished training. I just got home.
Who's the kid? You have a kid now?
No, it's not my kid. My girlfriend's got a 4-year-old, so that's hers.
So last time I saw you, you were like living in my house. You were coming over all the time. We were like great friends. And then I text you like, hey, man, you want to go to the movies? You're like, I moved. I go, you moved? When did you move? You're like, fuck this. Fuck Gavin. You're like, I'm out. And now you're living in Colorado, I take it?
Yeah. I'm in Denver, Colorado now.
I thought you were in Texas first, right?
No, I was in Texas for a bit because I was hanging out with Alex Fernandez. Alex Fernandez is a good friend of mine, so I was in Texas hanging out with him, just having a good time.
And then you went to Colorado. And now, where are you training in Colorado?
So I'm training now at Factory X out here in Colorado, in Denver, with Mark Montoya and his staff over there. I swapped over. A lot of people have actually asked me about that, like, man, it's late in your career and you fucking swap camps. And I'm like, it doesn't really matter, man. We're the fighters. We're just traveling gypsies that beat people up, basically.
I mean, you also started late. You started fighting at like 37 or something.
yeah, I did.
So
I was a late bloomer. I was waiting for puberty to kick in.
So now you're at Factory X. Is that with Usman?
No. They're at actually Elevation, which is the rival team.
Oh, you're a rival. So yeah. Who are you training with?
I'm training with Mark Montoya at Factory X. So I actually fought Austin Hubbard last – when was that, in August?
Yeah.
And that's one of Elevation's guys. So I actually just got my first fight out here, they threw me in the fucking rivalry.
Wow. But who are some of your training partners now?
My training partners are like Alex Hernandez. Let's see, who which guys would you know? Like the UFC guys would be Alex Hernandez, Yusuf Zolal, Chris Gutierrez, Cody Bollinger, Colin Anglin. Like, I actually have a lot of good partners here. A lot of guys who people don't really necessarily know or hear of, but guys who have very good skill sets in their area.
Wait, not Cody Bollinger from the kid who missed weight on the Ultimate
Fighter. No, not Cody Bollinger, actually. I'm sorry, not him. Cody, I can't think of his last. Oh, Brundage. Cody Brundage.
Oh, got it.
Bollinger, Brundage. Ah, whatever. They're all the same.
Got it. So you're out there. You're in Colorado. You have a girlfriend. Did you meet her out? Yeah. Where'd you meet the girlfriend?
I actually met her back home in Simi. She lived in Simi, where I live. And so we were just talking. And then when was it? I think New Year's. I came out here for New Year's and I brought her out here. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to move out here. And she's like, what about me? And I was like, well, you can come if you want. Like, you can come or just stay here and then we'll let bygones be bygones. No big deal. So she came out here. And now I got her, a little 4-year-old Hannah, and then me just living out here living the good life.
So you guys were dating like 1 week, and then you moved in together. You don't mess around, Vince.
Well, we were dating for like a week. It was longer. We were dating for like a year, I think. A little over a year when I decided to move.
Got it. Wow, that's crazy, man. Now, I'm telling you, your last fight was probably, I think, your best fight. I mean, you look so good in that fight, dude.
Thank you.
I mean, your fight against... I mean, your fight before that also was amazing too. Against what's his name, Jim Miller.
Yeah, Miller.
You've been crushing people. You always told me you like being like the big fish in a small pond and doing your own thing. And I'm like, no, man, you got to go to a better camp with better people. Blah blah blah. Have you seen?
And now I finally did.
Was I right?
Yeah. Yes, you were actually. Yes and no. Like, it was good to be where I was because I was like, I don't know, my confidence was high, right? But now right. Here. I have good partners, so my confidence and my skill set's getting a little better too again.
Yeah, you're getting better. Like, you may not be the best guy at the gym, but you're actually getting better because you're going with better guys.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of it is just my mindset, right? Like, I love fighting so much. I'm like a kid when I'm in the gym. It's like, it's not work for me. It's fun. So when I'm in there now, especially with people who are like-minded with me, who are fighters, MMA fighters, who have the same goals as me, it makes it so much funner for me to train because now we all have the same – we have the same goal, right? Where before, I was kind of – not like I didn't have MMA fighters to train with, but most of them were just like straight grapplers or strikers or wrestlers, you know. It wasn't like MMA guys that I was training with back home. So that in that aspect, I like it a lot more.
Now, before you were doing Twitch 20 hours a day, are you still doing that or has your girlfriend told you, like, you're not 7? You can't
– Nah, I still live like I'm in high school. I just smoke weed, fight, and play video games all day. But I don't Twitch as much as I used to, but I do Twitch a little more. I was Twitching a lot because I was role-playing GTA.
Yeah.
And I had this little redneck character that I created that people loved. So I was, like, doing that for a bit.
Dude, it was
and I actually liked
it. The fight you got with Ween Dog was the saddest thing. You got so mad because he went onto your Twitch and then promoted his thing and left. I never saw you angrier in your life. Like you were more mad at that than you did when you like lost fights and stuff.
Yeah, but well, okay. So let me read. I was upset at him for that, but it wasn't because of that. I was more upset because like at first I was just talking shit. I was like, this fucking guy comes in, promotes, and then runs away. Right? Like, what a scummy car salesman. But then what made me mad was him trying to lie and say, no, I didn't fucking do it, and yada yada. That's what made me mad. Like, that'll get your fucking ass kicked with me, dude.
That was the funniest thing I've like. My wife's mom was in the house staying with us. And she was, like, scared. Like, she was, like, legitimately scared. And she's like, what did he do to him? And then I tried to explain what had happened.
And she's like, what a fucking asshole.
She's like, your friends are, like, these are the, your friends are psychotic. I'm like, no, he went on his Twitch and promoted his own Twitch and left. And she's like, and he was like, because you're like, how about I break your face and I'm gonna kill you and like I'm gonna permanently injure you.
Dude, it's just principles, man. It's the fucking principles, you know? People mad at morals, and I hate that shit.
Dude, I felt so ashamed of my lifestyle and my choices and my choice of friends to like explain to my wife's mom that like this is the people that I hang out with.
Admittingly, I felt a little guilty too because I was like, damn, I did overreact a little bit. Like, fuck him for doing that, right? For making me mad like that, but I did overreact a little bit.
Dude, I loved you for it, bro. And I think that show we had like a huge guest. I forgot who it was. It was somebody like the champion or something. And people were more, they're like, fuck the champion. That was the funniest shit I've ever seen. Like, the highlight of my day was watching Vince go off on me.
Oh my god! Yeah, I hope he doesn't think I hate him.
He was legit, like though texting me like all night, like, "Hey man, how do I get Vince to not want to kill?" Like he like legit was scared, and like legit like scared for his life. I'm like, "It's okay, man. You're an Eddie Bravo blue belt." And, like I was like trying to like troll him too. Oh, it was so funny, bro.
Yeah, I was so mad. Like I wasn't mad, but then he made me mad. And then I was like, I fucking lost my shit, dude. I couldn't handle it.
Dude, I've never felt more like a kid. When you came over and we threw the sofa off my second floor. And then Bree, my wife, was like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?" And then we put it on like Instagram Live or something.
Wait, you never seen a couch fly off a balcony? What the hell?
Now you're fighting Madsen, right? This is the guy who's the wrestler. The guy who's like a silver medalist or something? Greco Roman dude that Clay Guida almost beat. I thought Clay won that fight, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he beat Guida. I think he lost that fight, honestly, but.
Now, wrestling has never been – I mean, you're a really good wrestler, Vince, and we have a mutual friend, Tyler, who said that you crushed him in wrestling, who's a belt. But the one fight that you had an issue was with the kid from – what's his name? The kid that was a national champion.
Yeah, Gillespie.
Yeah, Gillespie. How are we training for a Greco-Roman specialist that just throws people around the octagon?
Well, I'll tell you right now, we have some Greco guys in the gym who are really, really good. Honestly, there's Greco guys in the gym who are kind of guys, Greco guys that I've never even had the experience of wrestling with guys of that caliber. So I have guys who are constantly just trying to body lock me and just try to toss me around, and I'm doing fairly well. I don't get thrown very much. I don't get taken down very much. When I do, I'm right back up. So it's kind of just going to be that game of him just trying to body lock me and me just punching his fucking face off, I guess. I don't know. We'll see who comes out on top. You know what I mean?
I guarantee he's never been hit as hard as you, number one. You walk around at like 290. So so everybody that you hit is like, what the fuck did it just hit me? I mean, you've knocked guys out with jabs before.
I hit like a fucking Mack truck. And so, you know what? Lately, I haven't been knocking people out, but I've been really screwing up their marbles upstairs. So I don't know. Maybe my power's changing a little bit. I'm getting that old man strength, maybe.
I'm telling you, man, like you've really hurt people. So I think if you connect, the issue is like this is a guy that nobody wanted to fight. And nobody wants to fight a guy like this because like Damian Maya, Wonder Boy, it's a specialist. A guy that like especially at one good thing and you're like, well, how do I train for that? And you're like, fuck it. Bring it on, which is what everyone loves about you. I mean, I talked to Sean Shelby. Sean Shelby's like, Vince is a gangster. Because he gives you a list of people that no one wants to fight. You're like, let's bring it. But at the same time, what are we worried about in this fight?
I'm honestly just worried about his wrestling. He's an Olympic medalist wrestler, so that's literally going to be his game. And what I'm thinking is he's going to try to just wrestle fuck me like Gillespie did, right? Like that's going to be his best bet to beat a guy like me because I'm dangerous. So I could see him try to just do that. So my game is all revolving around my strengths, but also taking away his strengths at the same time. But like I said, he's like, I'm not naive to where he's not going to body lock me. He probably won't get a takedown on me, right? I'm not going to say that because I'll probably get down, but he's not going to hold me down and he's going to have a hell of a fight on his hands.
Let's not get you down. I'm going to rephrase. He's not taking you down. Fuck that. Come on, man. I don't want him taking you down.
You always say that, but I don't care about getting people taking me down because I'm not afraid. Like my jiu-jitsu is good. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not too afraid. I protect myself very well on the ground. I've taken minimal damage on the ground when I do get taken down, so I'm just not afraid there.
Do I get a shout out again or no? If you win or when you win,
you might get a shout out. Maybe,
that was the highlight, dude. You know, I was in Canada. I was at Hooters by myself, going, "Yes, that's me." Everyone thought I was fucking insane. People were like, "I threw me out of the place."
You sent me a drunk video that night of you getting kicked out.
I was so happy. You have no idea how happy that made me. I think I was happy.
The video was straight trash, dude. The video looked like this. Oh my god, I fucking got my name!
Dude, I was people looked at me like, I'm like, that's me. That's me. Everyone's like, sure it is. That's awesome. Sure. And you're focused. You're not on Tinder anymore. You're not on Bumble. You're a parent. Now, are we teaching our parent anti-vaxxing and your kid that masks are bad? And the government's full of crap. I'm a little nervous about you being a parent. What are we teaching our kid right now?
I'll say this: I was very nervous about me being a parent too, but I feel like I'm doing a fairly good job. Like I've gotten nothing but compliments from people how I am with her. Like I'm stern with her, but she's a little girl, so I'm also sweet with her too, right? As far as like the max and the vaccination and stuff, me and her mom are not planning on getting her vaccinated, and we're not planning on doing that. But as far as a mask, I'm not telling her, like, don't wear a mask, don't do this, do that. Because out here in schools, like in Colorado, there's no mask mandate. It's not like
that's great
California, right, where you can't even go to the bar without a fucking vaccine now. But
yeah.
In school, she has to wear a mask, but outside, they're allowed to take it off. So she takes her mask off. She actually doesn't like wearing masks. And that was just her on her own. I've never once said anything to her about the mask or not. I don't approve of masks, and I don't wear a mask. Her mom wears a mask in those places. So maybe she picked it up from that.
I hate having my kid wear a mask to school. I fucking hate it. It's
brutal. Yeah, it's torturous.
And then obviously with the vaccine, my kid's three. I'm not. She's not first round. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Let's let the guinea pigs run their course first, which is what they are right now, and then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's how I am too, honestly.
Yeah. So I'm like that, but yeah, I was a little worried with her about that kind of stuff, but I'm trying not to be biased, right? Because I'm so just against what's going on right now in our country. And I'm just trying not to be biased because I want her to have an open mind and open heart to things, right?
Well, Colorado has a Democratic, don't they have a Democratic governor, but they're like, the person's like not anti-mask, but he's like, enough is enough.
Our governor is like, no, screw that. We're not doing that anymore. But we have, I don't know what they are. Are they congressmen that are in the districts, right? Those guys?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that are trying to have mandates now in their areas. And so my guy is Jason Crow, which is funny because it's so close to Jim Crow, right? And this guy is literally following Biden by the book. And he's making kids wear masks. He wants you to have vaccinations and this and that, right? And so now I'm at the point where I'm not like arguing with people, right? Like if I go in a place and they say, hey, do you have a mask? And I say, no, I'll go, okay, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. And what I do now is I go to the store, and if they say no, go somewhere else, I leave my county and I go to the next county over that doesn't have a mandate, and I give them the money instead. So that's what I'm doing now to fight back against these fucking politicians, because like you have to play the game by their rules, you know what I mean? Which is really shitty because they made the game so one-sided. But that's what I'm doing right now.
I think it's almost over. It seems like it's almost over.
Yeah, I hope so, man, because I feel like there's a lot of people who are sick of it. And out here, we are Democratic ran, but I feel like a lot of people don't agree with a lot of that, honestly, because I haven't really talked to too many people out here who are okay with mandates, masks, kids wearing masks, vaccinations being forced and things like that. I really haven't talked to more than 2 to 3 people who are okay with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when kids are 3, 4, you're like, what?
Yeah. Like that's messed up, man. Like they're kids, they're growing. Like this is the time where their brains are like functioning. They're learning things, right? They're sponges. So for them to see this kind of stuff is just messed up, man. And I don't like it, honestly. Like I grew up in a time where kids were able to be kids and play. So that's what I want her to do. And that's what I allow her to do, right? I like her just play. And I try not to let her worry about all that bullshit. And I try to take a hit of it.
Well, I could tell you're a badass stepdad.
Thank you, dude.
And I'm proud of you, man. I am so proud of you. You look happy. You're great. You're going to be a great husband. You're going to be a great father. You're fucking kicking ass. You're at a real camp. You're doing well, man.
I really appreciate that coming from you. I was a little depressed out there for a bit. I'm sure you knew it, and a lot of people other knew it. So I'm glad that I actually.
Which time?
Since I've left, I've been so happy, man.
I could tell, man. So when is this fight?
I'm fighting February 12th. We're fighting, and it's actually Houston. It's my first fight back with a crowd since COVID, so I'm stoked.
Houston, Texas, and is it a UFC or is it Fight Night?
Yeah, it's Adesanya versus Whitaker too.
Wow.
It's that card. I'm on that card. So they better not put me on the fucking prelims because I'm gonna knock this guy's head off. But I saw they put your boy fucking Anders. Eric Anders. They put him on the fight pass prelims. I was like, what the fuck is your boy?
Well, good. So that way people won't see it. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of a good thing, but still, man.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
I had a $40 parlay last week that would have won me $17,000, and I had Jessica Penny. I had Juliana Pena. I had Oliveira and fucking Cody Nola fucked up my whole thing. And Eric Anders.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had
Bro, you should have learned your fucking lesson when you asked him to do the shout and he didn't do it. That's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what you get. Keep betting that money on Cody, man. He's going to keep disappointing you.
I know. I like Cody, though. It's just who I wanted to win, you know, versus like.
Yeah. I honestly didn't think Kai Kara France had a chance against Cody. I thought Cody was going to be way too big, too powerful.
Me too.
And then Cody, he just got too cocky, honestly, and he doesn't have a chin to be that cocky anymore. So
dude, he fucking, you know, when he told the guy to come out, hit him. I was like,
yeah.
Maybe he wanted the guy to stop hitting you.
Yeah. I think he was probably rocked by then. Didn't know what he was saying. Fuck.
He's tough. He's a tough guy. But I also had, what's his name? I had Jeff Neal losing to Ponzinibbio.
Oh, did you? See, I went Neal on that one. I didn't. Oh, I seen the other guy fight a couple times, but I was like, I can't go against Neal. Man.
I just figured Neal got a DUI. His fucking head was out of it. You know, all kinds
he needs that money. You know that motherfucker's going to fight. Yeah,
that's a good point. I know.
He needs that bonus.
I got that bonus. You're right. Well, listen,
dude,
man.
Fighter's insight right there, dude. I know these money problems the fighters have.
Well, have a happy holiday, brother. You're the best.
Thank you, too, man. I hope you're doing well. I really do.
I am, man.
It's good to hear from you. It's good to see that big-ass fucking head of yours.
You got a hat on. I wouldn't fucking talk.
I know. I only wear it because I'm going bald. Look at my fucking hairline, bro.
Dude, welcome to the club. Shit. Welcome to the club.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to start bicking.
You're a sexy man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
You too. I love you, man. Take care. You too.